Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined by one of my favorite people, a woman I've come to admire greatly for her courage, her tenacity, and the clarity of vision that she has brought to the issue of religious liberty for decades. Her name is Nina Shea. She has been, for quite some time, the director of the Center for Religious Freedom at the Hudson Institute. She has been a commissioner on the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. She is an author and a frequent contributor to the public policy debate through her various writings in publications like the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post and elsewhere. One of her books is Persecuted, The Global Assault on Christians. And we're going to talk with her about that and more. Nina Shea, first, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Well, I want to start with just sharing with you and our audience something that touched me very powerfully over the weekend. I had a chance to see a film entitled Paul, Apostle of Christ, and it's a feature-length film now in the theaters. A very powerful rendering of persecution from, well, quite literally, Christ's time forward. I know you haven't seen the film, Nina, but I just wanted to commend it to you and to all of our listeners because I think it really sets the stage for the work you are about and others of us as well in trying to alleviate persecution of Christians in our own time. And I guess I'd just ask you to give us, sort of for level setting purposes, a sense of how acute the problem is.
Yeah, well, thanks, Frank, first of all, for taking on this issue. It's so important. You know, our church leaders should be doing much more, I think, to bring attention to it. And it is a very severe problem. It is, in fact, as intense, according to Pope Francis and the prior pope, recent popes, more intense than that period of the Roman Empire where the Paul persecution takes place and in the early Christians. And we're seeing it intensify, of course, in the Muslim world. We've seen that for many years, a couple decades now, just intense persecution, genocide actually taking place under ISIS.
Actually officially recognized by the United States government as such, to your credit, among others.
Yes, that was a big campaign and to get that knowledge. And it's spreading down Africa with radical Islam. And Iran is also cracking down on Christians. And it's fascinating because there's now a crisis in Iran that it is so repressive and this theocracy that is there that millions of 3 million Iranians are estimated to have converted to Christianity despite the persecution and actually because of the persecution. And we've seen the same thing happen in China, by the way, over the last several decades. As persecution intensifies, nevertheless, people are choosing, are repulsed by the government and choosing Christianity in the underground. And there is an intense persecution going on in China as well. But the headlines, they're small headlines, but they're important indicators of this the magnitude of this problem. And just this weekend, the Boko Haram, the branch, the ISIS branch in Nigeria, Africa, kidnapped another 100 girls from a school, schoolgirls. And they returned, which was almost, miraculous. They returned all but one. Turns out all the girls they returned were Muslims. And the one they kept was a Christian who refused to renounce her faith. And she is being called a powerful witness to the Christian faith in Nigeria because she has now disappeared and may never surface again.
This is really the points you've just made, Nina, both with respect to the effect that persecution is having on people who believe in Jesus Christ and are willing to put it all on the line for that faith. It should be such an important, call, I guess, to the rest of us that take for granted our ability to practice our freedom in our faith in freedom.
Yes, it's almost a uniquely American freedom to have complete religious freedom as we do in the United States. We don't have a recognized religion like many European countries do, even. We have legal issues that we're pursuing through the court, but about whether we can speak our beliefs and whether we can exercise our speech beliefs. But in these countries, Christians are being tortured, they're being beheaded, they're being crucified, they're being taken as sex slaves, as this little girl, schoolgirl in Nigeria was this week, and she was had an option to go with her classmates back home, and she chose not to in order to stand up for Jesus Christ. And her mother is celebrating her. She said she's proud of her. And I, you know, just as a mother, I just can't imagine the emotions and the strength of character to say that at this time. And of course, this happened to scores of Christian women and girls in Iraq. And we've heard a lot about the Yazidis, which is another ancient religion that's not Christian, but and they were deeply affected by that scourge of sex slavery. But so are Christian women and girls in Iraq and Syria. And they've started, as these lands have been liberated from ISIS by our troops and by the global coalition, we're starting to hear the stories. And they're harrowing, where they were married, quote unquote, married by ISIS imams 8 times in one night, and beaten until they bled on the head by the wives of these ISIS jihadis to force them to convert, which they didn't do. And so it is astonishing stories. One woman saw her husband. This was reported to me by two Catholic priests in Iraq. And one woman saw her husband crucified to the front door of their home for refusing to convert. This is the most brutal, harrowing, monstrous type of persecution. One of the atrocities, and really a continuation of the genocide, Frank, is that the UN for 3 years did not, after ISIS attacked these people and did this to them in 2014, the UN refused to help them. There was not a single camp for Christians in the Middle East, and they couldn't go in the Muslim camps because the persecution would follow them there.
And as a result, they have not been eligible for refugee status, which is determined by the UN based on who's in these camps, as I understand it. Hey, Nina, we're going to run out of time before we run out of things to talk about. I did want to turn lastly, though, to one of the other projects that you have been deeply involved in, going back to your time on the International Religious Freedom Commission. And that is the encouragement that has been given to persecution, among other kinds of jihadism, by the government of Saudi Arabia in the form of its textbooks, which it has supplied, among other places, to madrasas, these Islamic schools in America. Tell us what the latest is on that. There's this new crown prince of Saudi Arabia who we're told is trying to reform things massively, including with respect to religious practice in his country. Is there any evidence that that's translating into improvement on this score?
Well, not yet. I mean, I'm watching it very closely. Of course, there's greater women's rights expansion of that. But the problem is, as you know, Frank, that these textbooks direct students to fight and kill the infidel, Christians, Jews, Shia, others. Baha'is, you know, to fight. The directive is to fight them and kill them.
In textbooks for children, to be very clear.
Yes, for high schoolers and other students. And these are mandatory within the kingdom, and they're published by the Ministry of Education. They're published a new edition every year. So these aren't just like old textbooks that they couldn't afford to replace. They actually do replace them every year. And I've monitored every year since soon after 9/11. And it's still problematic. And the State Department finally admitted that in 2015, after all these years.
After all these years, among other things, of promising that it was going to get better, that they've been told that the Saudis were going to take steps to improve the situation. Nina Shea, your work on this front, as on so many others, is incredibly important. And we commend you for it and look forward to your further progress reports. I hope this acid test will be one that Mohammed bin Salman will pass, but we'll see. In the meantime, I want to just say from the bottom of my heart how much I appreciate your work on behalf of By some estimates, 215 million Christians around the world who are being heavily persecuted, according to Open Doors, a group I know you're working with, as are we. And I just also wanted to put in a plug for the Save the Persecuted Christians Coalition, which has been inspired by so much of your efforts, Nina, and which is trying to do, just as you said, to get churches, among others, to be much more engaged in holding accountable those doing this persecution. So bless you, and thank you for the work you do at the Hudson Institute. Come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same again tomorrow, same time, same station. Till then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.